Now God, as Maisie just read, and we're going to look at that this morning, is saying, I've given you something. Now we need to use it. Now, Lisa rang me up yesterday morning. I don't know what time it was. I can't remember what time it was, but Lisa rang me up yesterday morning, and she said, I just want to tell you what happened on Friday night. She says, we started to worship God on Friday night, and they have a prayer meeting, just the four of them. There's four ladies, I believe, or three ladies get together every Friday night, and they just pray. But she said, the Spirit of God so moved in that place on Friday night, that it was just a phenomenal experience of God. And I don't believe they got much prayer time done. The power of God just filled the room. I want to tell you, God has given us this gift of the Holy Spirit to fill us and to have moments like this. And I want to encourage you this morning that God has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we need to walk in the Holy Spirit. And we will complete this booklet, and some of you have already put your names down. I don't know whether you noticed, but we've now got a brand new hub center. And from now on, you need to be going here week by week. Katie will be standing at the desk. All the information on everything we're doing at the moment is going to be on there. And the booklets, when they're finished, will be on there. There's a place to write your name down if you need the booklet this morning. We're also doing, starting in October, we're going to go through the New Testament on a Wednesday evening. We want you to be discipled, and we're going to go through a program called New Testament Survey. We're going to look at the New Testament. There's already some names down, but again, there's a sheet for you to sign. And on a Wednesday evening in October, we will start that, because we want you to understand what God has got for us. He hasn't saved us just to leave us. He has saved us that we might have fellowship with Him as with the Father. And it should be exciting. Our Christian walk should be exciting, although it will be not taking the fact that we will have great times all the times. There will be the valleys of the shadow of death, as David described it. But as David said, He will walk through those with thee. The wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is He doesn't dump us when things go bad. He, in fact, is there to encourage us, to help us, and to enhance us, and to bring us out of the valley of despondency. David said, you took me out of a miry clay and you put my feet upon a rock. These two people on the road to Emmaus, they were just so down and so disappointed. And I understand that, because the very person who they hung their hopes on had died. And they were expecting this one to be the Messiah. So naturally, they were full of despondency, full of disappointment. And so Jesus comes along and that tells them the reason why He had to go first to a cross. And He opens up their eyes, fills them with the Spirit. And boy, were they excited when they encountered Jesus. And I want to tell you, Jesus, I believe, is exciting. And I tell you, we need to walk in the Holy Spirit. That's why He's given us it. And we looked last week very briefly at that. Some of us were struggling because we have not yet dethroned ourselves and put Him on the throne. And our first priority must be that we surrender our lives to Jesus. It has to be the first priority. He came that He might give us life, as we're going to read. But it comes with a condition, is that we give up. But I can't think of the guy's name now. But he went out and he got out of a plane and he got speared to death. He never walked more than a few meters from that plane and he speared him to death. But his epitaph is this: it is no fool gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He understood that he had to surrender his life totally to God. But he took it this way: it is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Man is now in heaven. Jim Elliot, thank you very much. You see, Jim Elliot knew that the day he came to know Jesus, he surrendered self on the throne. And instead, he put Christ on the throne. He said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me. He didn't say the crown before me or the riches before me. He said the cross before me. Paul said, I boast in nothing else but the cross of Jesus, which I have given up everything that I might gain, that which I cannot lose. I want to tell you, Peter said to Jesus, you don't know what we've given up for you. Jesus said, Peter, you don't know what I've got in store for you, mate. Whatever you've given up for Christ. Jesus said to Peter, you will be richly rewarded. Abundantly rewarded. I want to tell you to be a sacrificial giver up for Jesus. To surrender your life to Him. I tell you, it's a great journey. It's not a journey, I promise you, full, as I say, with what we call happiness or wealth or material. But it is a journey in which we know the power and excitement of a living God. In which we will have success because our God is for us, not against us. And I believe that God has got a wonderful plan for every human being. And I believe that God wants to fully get us to the fact that whatever He's got for us has got to be good. That our Father is a good Father. He says in James chapter 1, I'm the Father and there's no shadow of turning with me. I don't change my mind. I'm consistently good. Jesus said about His Father, He said, ask Him and He will give you the Holy Spirit. Do you know you have a good Heavenly Father? Do you know He's only got good things in store for you? Well, the problem is, we have to surrender that we might go His way. And sometimes, that's not on our agenda. But if we want to walk in the Spirit and finish this series off, it's no good knowing who the Holy Spirit is. It's no good learning all about Him if we are not going to embrace Him. Because I tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes, as it did in that room on Friday where Lisa and the people are praying, and it fills up this place from Pipe Hayes to Bag at Arms, there will be a change. This place will be transformed. Because when God's Spirit moves, something has to give. Truly do believe it. And I will be going to get excited. I believe that God has placed us here this morning. And we look around this morning, look how many people are away on holiday. I believe God has given me a wonderful nucleus of people to work in this place. All of you sitting here this morning are assets for the kingdom of God in this place. And God wants to baptize you fully in the Holy Spirit so that you can be empowered witnesses for Him. That we can tell the good news of Jesus. These two people on the road to Emmaus, you know, they could have sat there, had their supper and gone to bed and said, we've had a wonderful experience today of Jesus. Well, you know, they couldn't. They just said, well, we've got to go back and tell our friends. We've got to go back and tell people. We can't keep this to ourselves. When Peter was threatened by the Pharisees, said, you will never talk about Jesus again. He said, I can't do that. He said, I can only talk about those things which I have seen and heard. Because he'd been empowered at the day of Pentecost by the Holy Spirit. You see, there are people in Iraq, and we've asked you to give sacrificially. Our brothers and sisters are up on a mountain. No food, no sanitation, no electricity. They've been brutally murdered and raped and crucified. This is 2014. And we're raising an offering for them. Sacrificial giving. Not our tithes that we should give to the church. That's our tithes. God says, bring all your storehouse into the tithes, by the way. God makes a command. Talking about being surrendered, God surrenders your life. You surrender your finances. God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and see if I will not bless you. Well, you first of all have to bring your stores into the tithe house, and then God will bless you. It's not the other way around. But we're saying not only bring our tithes, but why not put that extra bit of money that you might have used to go out and give it to our brothers and sisters. But you see, The point I'm trying to make is, our brothers and sisters are not going to give up Jesus simply because they're on a mountainside waiting to be killed. You see, they found something in Jesus that's real and everlasting. I'm serious, brothers and sisters. They have something inside them which says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And there's no turning back. I'm going all the way. Whatever that is, I'm going all the way. You see, it's easy for you and I. We're going to go home this afternoon. And this is the first Sunday where we won't have an evening service. So you can go out today. And you can enjoy yourselves for the rest of the afternoon. And that's super. But think about it. If we were hiding this morning. Think about it. If we didn't have Kevin and especially Simon, the way he was belting that song out. I love that assure his gold or silver, don't you? Wow, if that feet doesn't get you dancing, I'm sure you're dead. But we wouldn't be doing that. We'd have the lights out. There would be no heating on. Because we wouldn't want the authorities to come in and see us worshipping God. But you know, the Church of God is growing faster and faster in the countries where they've been persecuted than anywhere else. Because Jesus said, I will build my kingdom and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I hope we're going to walk in the Spirit. Because I want to tell you this morning, Jesus said, I've come that you might have what? And how might you have it? And what are we doing in the last Sunday of the month on the evening? Abundant praise. In other words, we're coming out on the last Sunday of the evening. Hopefully everyone's coming out. And all we do is we worship God, we praise God. We're not preaching. We just come to give God what we want from our hearts and we pour out in song and worship. And it's a fantastic evening. We've launched our last one and it was phenomenal success as we meet with other churches. We've called it abundant praise because with God we've got life in abundance. Our life is not going to stop the moment we stop breathing. Praise God, it only opens up to another life. You will have life and you will have it in abundance this morning. This is exciting. Sorry, this is exciting. I'm sorry, but there are people freezing themselves today who are rich and hope there's a cure for life so they can be defrosted. They're stuck in a defreezer frost. I don't know what happens if the power goes off. I don't know whether they think they're going to get resurrected any sooner. But I'm serious. There are people who are desperate to know because they don't want to die. And do you know something? You don't have to. You pass from one life into another. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Oh, I want life this morning. Seriously. I want the best. I'll confess, I want the best. If someone can give me the best, I'll take it. You'd be a fool not to. Jesus said, I can give you any life. Come and ask me into my life. And I'll give you life. But then Jesus says, listen, Ed, I'm in your life now. You're saved. But it doesn't end there, Eddie. This is now the beginning, son. Do you really now want to experience life in its abundance? Do you really want to go all out for it and have a fantastic life? Because I'm about to pour out my Holy Spirit in you. The day I came to know Jesus, I received the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But now Jesus says, I want you to use that gift, Eddie. Some of us have life because we've trusted in Jesus. But I wonder whether we say we have abundant praise and abundant life. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to come? Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the... He who abides in and I in... He bears what? For apart from me, you can do nothing. It's a wonderful scripture. But Jesus is saying that I can give you life this morning if you abide in me. If, let me flick it back. If you are Christ on the throne. If you are allowing God to come into your life and really move and you've surrendered, Jesus is promising that He will give you life in abundance. I want to tell you, I believe it is exciting. You see, when Jesus said to the disciples, I want you to go in Jerusalem. They said to Jesus, are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel? You're the Messiah. You've risen from the grave. Hallelujah. You are resurrected. Are you now going to kick the Romans out? And are you going to come back as you promised the Messiah will do? And you will give us back of the land that we should have. And Jesus said, I'm not interested in that. He said to them, you don't get to know when I'm coming back. It's none of your interest. He said, I tell you the truth, I don't know when I'm coming back. Jesus said, I haven't got a clue. My Father knows, I don't know. He said, that's of no interest. He said, what's interesting, what I want you to fix your hearts on, disciples, is to go back to Jerusalem to pray and look for me, because I'm going to give you something that's going to change the world. So Jesus was not telling us not to get excited about his coming again. It is the most exciting thing for the Christian, that Jesus is coming again. But Jesus is saying, listen, that's of no interest compared to you now doing what I want you to do, and that is embracing the Holy Spirit, going out there and telling the good news of Jesus. However you have been gifted to do it, whether that's been friendly evangelism, whether that's just coming into the church and teaching our children, whatever it is, God is saying, when you fully embrace me and you allow the Spirit of God that I've given you, that's what I'm interested in. And these were Jesus' last words as he took into heaven. He said, the timing is my Father's business. What you're going to get is the Holy Spirit. And so we are filled by the Holy Spirit by faith. John 7:39 says this, and we read it today. He said, if there's anybody thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. Rivers of living waters will brim and spill out the depths of anyone who believes in me this way. Just as the scriptures said. We receive and experience the Spirit, as we put this up last week. When we experience the Holy Spirit, by faith and by fact. You can do it right now. It's not dependent upon your feelings. Let me read this to you. The promise of God's word is not based on our feelings. It's based on God's authority. The Christian lives his life by faith, not by feeling. It is by trusting that what God has said, he will do. That what God has said, he will do. This train here can pull without faith and feeling. That train is not dependent on those two things. They are the wagons. That train will pull. But the feeling won't pull. It has to be coupled up to something. And we need to understand that is what God is saying. You've got to understand and believe that when I say something, it is fact. If God says, I want to give you life in abundance, what does he want to do? He wants to give us life in abundance. If God wants to come into our hearts and really give us a life that's full of enrichment and enjoyment and fulfillment in him, we can have it. It's not based on the feelings that I've got. But if I can't trust God's word, where am I going if I cannot trust God's word? God never promised us riches or abundance. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. But he also promised us that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Is that a feeling or a fact? It is a fact. Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe that God knows your circumstances this morning? Do you really believe that God knows everything about you? Everything about you. Do you believe that God cares for you more than any other person will ever, ever care for you? Is it something that is being told to you, or is it something that is a fact down inside this heart? That whatever anyone says, you know that God loves me more than anything else. That God understands my situation more than anyone else. And that God is able to deliver me from my situation more than anyone else. But that God has not promised me, that God has not promised me a life without pain, a life without suffering, a life sometimes without a job, as many of us have experienced. God hasn't given us what we call the gospel of prosperity. He's given us Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. And you will be sick. It's part of our sinful life. It's part of our DNA, unfortunately. We will be sick. I believe God can heal us in our sickness. We've been praying for Mindy this week. And we're praying that God is going to do something. Because we believe that when we ask God for something, He's gracious and He's merciful. And He will weigh that up. I believe that God has healed many of us when doctors have told us it's no good. I believe God is the final answer over our lives. I truly believe God is the final answer over my life. It is a fact that I won't go home a moment or a second sooner than He has already decreed. I know that. It is a fact that God holds my future. He holds my present. And He's forgiven me my past. And I'm not chained or bound by my past, whatever I've done. Because God has set me free. Is it a fact or a feeling this morning? We want to race on because we want to close this morning. We really want to be empowered by God. God will empower you. Because it's fact that God wants to empower you. Paul said they should be praying for the gift of tongues. Paul says we should pray for the gift of faith. If we lack faith, go and ask God for it. He will increase our faith. It's fact. Take the word of God as fact. And act on the word of God as fact. That is your foundation. That is your manual. We're filled by the Holy Spirit when we take this in faith. Fact, God loves me. Therefore, in faith, I'm going to take it. So God's blessings are given to us by faith as a free gift. We are certain to get them. We are certain to get them. Because God has said so. And God cannot lie. And we get it as we close now. And often when people come out to pray, I ask people to allow the Holy Spirit to just fill them. As naturally as you breathe. When you breathe, you inhale and hopefully you exhale. Exhale, we allow the bad stuff to come out. And when we inhale, we take in. And that's all God wants us to do. He wants us to get rid of the bad stuff. Which is why we read 1 John 1:9. And He wants us to take in and receive all that God has for us. So walking in the Spirit is as naturally as breathing. It enables us to continue to experience God's love and God's forgiveness. We need it. Nothing changed my life more than that day, as you know, at Tintagel. Yes, I received salvation when I was 16 or 17. But nothing really changed my life until the day that I encountered the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You see, I knew that I knew that I knew that God was real. Like those people on the road to Emmaus. I'm sure they'd met Jesus. I'm sure it wasn't the first time they'd seen Jesus. I'm sure they'd met Jesus on His ministry. Well, I have no proof of that, but that's what I think. But they'd never really encountered Him. I wonder this morning, have you really encountered God? You're saved. You know Him as your Savior. But have we encountered and experienced that power that can change lives? And so when we confess our sins and we agree with God and we thank Him for the forgiveness, according to 1 John 1:9, confession involves repentance and a change of attitude and a change of direction. And then we inhale, we surrender the control of our lives to Christ and we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit by faith. We trust that He now directs and empowers you according to God's wonderful promise in Ephesians and the promise of 1 John 5. So we are filled as we finish by faith, thanking God that He has forgiven us for all our sins, past, present, and future, because He died for us. And we present every area of our life to Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We offer up daily a living sacrifice of our life dedicated to His service. By faith we claim the fullness of the Holy Spirit according to His command. Be filled with the Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And by faith we believe these promises. He will always answer when we pray according to His will. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to God's will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked of Him. Fact or feeling? Is it fact or feeling? And finally, Hebrews 11:6 says this: it is impossible to please God apart from faith. Why? Because anybody who wants to approach God must believe that God exists and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit by faith alone. Now, I'm not saying to you that when you come to know Jesus, you don't get the Holy Spirit, because that is wrong. The moment you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 tells you that if you've never received the Spirit of God, then you're not born again. That's not what I'm saying this morning. I'm saying to you this morning that the day you ask Jesus into your heart, you receive the gift of God. You receive the Holy Spirit. But now God wants us to use that gift to empower us on how to walk in the Spirit. And it's up there. There are extensive notes. And we probably will just finish it there. And Katie and I will get down to producing the booklet now, which is almost finished. You need to understand that, listen, if we want to live an empowered life in which we are going to transform our neighborhood, we need the Holy Spirit. If you want to be fulfilled and successful in your life, and I'm not talking about success the way the world talks about success, trust me, seriously. I'm talking about having a fantastic life in Christ this morning. And being empowered by Him. You can have it this morning, it's fact. I have the Holy Spirit. But do I want to be empowered by Him? Do I want to daily live for Him? For without Christ, I can do. Without Christ, I can do nothing. I'm just as I am. But if I allow God to work in my life, I believe there's nothing we can't accomplish. I believe from the bag at arms down to little, we will see transformation. I believe God will transform your life. I believe God will make your life exciting. I believe that you will want to come to abundant praise, because simply the fact is you're so empowered and in love with Christ that you want to be with God's people and you want to worship and praise Him, because that's the number one thing you want to do. If you're empowered by Jesus, it's what you want to do. Well, seriously. And one of the things I want to do is I want to tell everyone about Jesus. And Katie and I have been putting some stuff together this week. And we've got a lovely leaflet here for Alpha. We promised you we'd give it this week, and we've kept our promise. We want you to take one. It's wonderful. So everything's on the back, all the information about the church. It's got a place there for a stamp if people want to bring it in, or if you would like to give it to us. Just want to give you to people so you will invite people to come on the Alpha course. You know, friendship evangelism is the most powerful way of evangelism. There are two people sitting in our front seat, or not our front seat, the seat behind, because someone took an opportunity to invite them to Alpha. And what a blessing they've been to us since they come into our church. God transforms lives. But it took Simon to say to his mother and father, bit dubiously, we've already booked you up on the Alpha course. Well, we're asking you, listen, we are going to do an Alpha course. When are we doing it, Katie? September the 15th. And what we are going to do, we are going to ask you to take this leaflet along with this leaflet this morning. Because on September the 14th, the day before, we're launching What is Church Like? And we want you to bring your friends, and we're going to open up the back room at 10 o'clock. We're going to have cakes, biscuits, we're going to have the lot, we're going to welcome them. And we're going to show them what church is like. Church is not dead, nor is it boring. Because Jesus said, I want to give you life. Life in its abundancy. So how can we say church is boring or dead? It's because we're not empowered and we don't know the fullness of a Godhead. We got excited about God. We know church is not dead nor boring. And we just want you to invite them. The whole service is going to be a really great service. And it's a chance for them to discover. We're having coffee and cake. And then we'll have our morning service as normal at 22:11. And for 10 o'clock, we're going to come in. And we'd like you to take, I think you all got one of these last week. Did they get one of these last week, Rob? I think everyone got one of these last week. If you didn't, please take one. Put it inside your alpha. So you can invite them on September the 14th to come on the Sunday. We're going to have a really great time. Seriously, invite the people that you know. And then on the 15th, get them signed up before. And we're going to have an alpha course. Why are we doing this? Because like sweets and chocolates, they're made for sharing. Aren't they? Oh, they're not. They're just made for you, but I'll be honest. But they are, aren't they? Chocolates and sweets are made for sharing, aren't they? Listen, I was watching the television last night, and suddenly who came on the television? Me. And I shouted up to Avril, get downstairs here. There's a good-looking guy here. I think she thought it was Tom Cruise. And I had it on pause. And I said, look. It was Mama. You want to share good things, don't you? She went upstairs very quickly, mind you. It's Good News Week. Who remembers that song from the 60s? Hedgehoggers Hoppinomus or something. Wasn't it Hedgehoggers Hoppinomus? It's Good News Week. Jesus loves this world. Jesus loves you this morning. Jesus came and gave his life for you. All he wants you to do is to empower the life he's given you. Tell others about Jesus.